Good morning and welcome. I'm Christopher Purdy, delighted to welcome you all to today's edition of All Sides Weekend, where our topic is, well, it's kind of a general arts and culture topic, and I have three guests, and nobody knows how to sell, promote, or present entertainment, cultural events, etc., than these three guests. They are Lisa Minkin, who was the Broadway manager for Kappa of Broadway in Columbus. You want to see a show? This is the woman you talk to, and she's going to be telling us all about the Broadway productions that will be touring through our area in the coming season. Nanette Macy-Jones is a good friend. She's been a frequent guest of this show before. I'm delighted to have her back. She is the executive director and CEO of the Columbus Museum of Art. And I have a new friend I just met. Marissa McClellan is the marketing director of Promo West Productions. I'm an old guy, so I am going to depend a lot on Marissa McClellan to make sure we understand of the four venues currently that Promo West runs.
You have four venues in Columbus.
In Columbus mm-hmm. only. Not, we won't discuss Cincinnati and Kentucky and...
In Pittsburgh.
And we probably will discuss those.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, welcome and thank you all for being here. The pandemic had everybody at home for too long. That had everybody looking at Zoom screens for too long. It had some people stuck in the house with a house full of kids. Not that we don't love our kids, but come on, you know. We are hopeful that those days are behind us, depending on who you ask. But if you want a place to go, if you want a place to bring your kids, if you want to have some fun, if you want to be out and about, this show is for you. And I want to begin with Marissa McClellan at Promo West. Now, there were two, I guess, flagships that I know about in Columbus that you manage and you run. One is the Newport Music Hall on High Street. The other was called the Promo West Pavilion down in the Brewery District, but there's some news about that.
Now we're Express Live. And that's actually the third iteration of the name of that venue, because we used to be called the LC also. So it's always fun going through the name changes. And we also have two other venues here in Columbus, the Basement and A&R Music Bar, which are our smaller clubs.
And you're going to be telling us some of the things we can look forward to seeing and hearing in the coming weeks and months as we all try to get out of the house. And
Absolutely.
Hopefully that's going to continue. Lisa Minkin, Broadway in Columbus. Give us just a sketch of what it is you do and in what venues.
Well, we present the best of touring Broadway to these wonderful audiences in Columbus, primarily at the Ohio and Palace Theaters. And we can't wait to have our theater doors open again and get Broadway live on stages.
This is the newly renovated, by the way, Palace Theater.
Yes.
And there was also some upgrades to the Ohio Theater that you took advantage of the pandemic to do some work inside the two buildings structurally.
Most certainly. We've had some work done on our loge, added some handrails. So being up on our second level is going to be a lot more comfortable for our patrons.
One thing I wanted to mention was that a year ago, when really nobody was going anywhere and you really couldn't leave, Kappa did manage to, I think, have 2 weekends of the summer film series. They just, you had to come in and you had your temperature taken and you were masked. And I think they only let 50 people in the Ohio Theater, which is something. But my wife and I went to one of them, and everybody was so grateful to be out of the house. And thank you, Kappa, for making that happen. Now the film series is running again. I think it's the long trailer this weekend with Lucy and Desi. And the houses are full, and people are really enjoying them. So everybody's back, and let's hope they stay that way. What are we going to give us one? Start tempting us with Broadway in Columbus coming up in the news. What's happening in November? I think that's your first presentation.
Well, we will premiere Hadestown, which is the 2019 Tony Award winner, an updated twist on the Greek mythology. And it's an amazing, beautiful show, rich jazz music. You feel sometimes like you're new in New Orleans, folk music. We're really excited to have it on our stage.
So if you want to sing and dance along and tap your feet, this show is for you.
Most certainly.
Big high energy. It was a multi-Tony winner in New York. If anything's running, they're coming back. I think it's supposed to come back.
Yes, I believe it's coming back in September, which is wonderful, and we can't wait to have it a couple months later.
Something I'm going to ask each of you, and I'll start with you, Lisa, is that now there's a there's talk afoot of requiring, I know this is happening on Broadway in New York and at Lincoln Center, you have to have proof of vaccination to come into the theater now. Is that something that you think is going to happen here?
You know, since our first show isn't until November, it's really hard to tell. So we don't really have a lot of details. Like everyone else, we're working with local and state officials, and our patrons and staff and cast and crew, are their health is our utmost priority. So we'll work with all those folks to determine the best plan at the time for what's going on in the world.
And I think you probably all are agreeing with that one, at least. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend. We are talking about arts and culture today and what you can do this weekend and what you can do in the coming months to get out of the house and have some fun and enjoy yourselves, with Nanette Macy-Junes from the Columbus Museum of Art, Marissa McClellan, Marketing Director for Promo West, and Lisa Minkin, who is the Broadway in Columbus Marketing Manager for Kappa. Nanette Macy-Junes, the museum has been open for a while. Thank you.
Yes, we opened, we were closed 4 months, so we opened again in late June of 2020.
How did that go at the very beginning? Because you must have been one of the first venues of your size.
We started. There was a first wave of art museums across the country, and we were in that wave. We had about a quarter to a third of attendance. That's what we were sort of averaging of our regular attendance. But people did come out. We were all masked, but we were there. It was quiet, but it was one, and people were so grateful. Again, what we heard again and again as people came through the door was, thank you for being open. Thank you for being here. We ran, and our big centerpiece of our exhibition schedule during COVID was the Rag and On exhibition, the work of Amina Robinson, which is a massive retrospective. It's a huge show. I generally tell people to go and see part of it, have a coffee or an iced tea, and then go back into the second half. It is all the work that we took out of the house over 5 years.
Her home has now been named some kind of a national treasure or something.
Yes. So the museum is really honored to be part of helping the legacy of Amina Robinson. She asked us, the artist asked us, to be part of this. And she did leave the museum her home. And what we did was we did this great community and committee, and we decided that the best use for Amina's home was to have it be the home of an artist residency program. And we have our first national resident has been here for the summer, Jonathan Payne. He gave a great talk at the museum last night about his work. And this is, if it's not the only, it is certainly one of the very few artist residency programs that is particularly focused on African-American artists.
Remind us about Amina Robinson.
Amina Robinson grew up here in Columbus, Ohio. She is beloved here, but she is a national, international figure, a major African-American woman artist who worked in fabric and beads, and she drew and she painted, she made objects, she made these wonderful sculptures. She was an incredible creative spirit, and she went all around the world and brought a lot of that back to Columbus, but in many ways her heart never left this community.
I interviewed her once many years ago at the library downtown when there was an installation of some of her work, and some of her other work was being moved out, and I asked her how she felt about that, and she said to me, "Darling, you got to be new. You got to move forward." And she passed away a few years ago.
This is actually the sixth year we've lost her. We just had something very touching happen. So her last chihuahua, Amina loved chihuahuas. You know, these she always have the chihuahua in a bag with her. The last one was Baby. And we found a home for Baby with an artist. We found with an artist family. We thought it was perfect. And he went to the studio every day. He passed away this summer.
Oh, great. There goes the show. The dog died.
But the family wrote this beautiful tribute to Baby. Yeah. And she ends the tribute by saying, "I really don't know what happens to any of us, but if there's a heaven, Amina is at the gate waiting to take Baby on a new walk." So it was really touching.
Amina Robinson does have an international reputation, but her home and her heart, even after her passing, remain here in Columbus and is marvelously curated by the Columbus Museum of Art.
And we're partnering on the fellowship, the Artist Fellowship at GCAC. So that is really wonderful. GCAC and the museum coming together to make this her home the site of new creativity.
Literally, her home.
Her home, yes. Literally, her home and studio was renovated. And again, thanks to the Columbus Foundation, we were trying to figure out how to raise money for that. The Columbus Foundation gave this gift at the end of their mega anniversary year. We renovated the house. It is for artists to live and work in.
Great idea. That's the Columbus Museum of Art. Annette Macy-Junes is the CEO and executive director. And now Marissa McClellan is going to teach me about popular culture, which would be a great thing, and I'd be grateful, as the marketing director of Promo West. So four venues in Columbus. Begin.
Oh, my gosh. Hi. Before COVID times, we do about 500 shows a year. In Columbus, and in Pittsburgh, we do about 150, and then we hope to do the same in our new venue in Newport, Kentucky / Cincinnati, Southern Ohio, in Northern Kentucky. So we are now open. We had our first show back with the Avett Brothers. It was sold out last Friday, outdoor show, and
it was
incredible. And I think everybody was crying, and just hearing everybody's voices singing along to the music was great. It was after almost a year and a half. It was awesome. So live music is back. We have had three shows now so far, and we have, probably 150 shows on the books now for the rest of the year. They're coming fast and furious. But our first kind of welcome back show is this Tuesday with Modest Mouse at Express Live.
At Express Live, which some people know as the Promo West Pavilion, but the name has changed. It's the Express Live Pavilion down near the Brewery District.
Absolutely. We've been Express Live for like 10 years.
I told you, Marissa.
But we still call it Promo West.
I told you. I still think the Beatles are active. So, you know, but that's why I'm very grateful that you're here.
Well, there is a great Paul McCartney documentary
out
now. So if you haven't watched that, tune in. I have no involvement with that, by the way.
I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Week, and we're having a good time here, and we're going to continue in just a moment after a break. Don't go away.
Explore the little things that can inspire us all. I'm Hanif Abdurraqib. Listen to Small Joys, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend, talking about arts and culture and entertainment and all kinds of great energy that's happening now in Columbus, with Marissa McClellan, who is the marketing director of Promo West, Nanette Macy-Junes, the CEO and executive director of the Columbus Museum of Art, and Lisa Minkin, the marketing director for Broadway in Columbus. Delighted to have you all here. Marissa, I just want to get with you a little bit more. What's going on at Newport?
So Newport officially opens at the end of August. Our first show back there is Ani DiFranco. So that's exciting.
There'll be lines for that one.
Hope so. Yep. Fingers crossed. So we obviously just haven't been able to get all the venues open all at once. It's been kind of a thing.
Now, what happened? Because you do so many presentations of a given year in different cities. When the pandemic hit and everything had to be canceled, what happened? I mean, how long did it take the cancellations to really start coming in and then to reopen and get gigs back going?
Yeah, so I would say the first month of the pandemic, a lot of bands were just trying to reschedule. And we were just saying postponed because nobody knew really that it would go on for this long. You know, we kept saying, oh, we'll be back next month. And then as it, you know, kept drawing out longer than I think everybody anticipated, a lot of the bands started canceling and rescheduling. You know, we still have shows that have been on the books since 2019 that are coming back in 2022 now at this point. So it was a long process of thankfully, I'm not a booking person. So I just had to really update the website and the social media pages, but the bookers really were put through it in the beginning.
But I'm sure if you and your colleagues were even working at home, you probably never slept. I mean, it was constantly probably.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I would say the first 2 months or so was really rough on everybody. And then there was like, I don't know, like 8 months of almost nothing happening. And then the last 2 to 3 months have been kind of insanity. Like the Band-Aid just got ripped off and every show announced like within a 6 week period. So it's good. It's very overwhelming for those of us.
Scheduling has to be a...
It's insane. Yeah. I mean, we even into 2022 now at this point, dates are, you know, we call them holds. So if a band requests a date and then another band wants the same date, then they're the second hold, third hold. We have like 10 holds on each date next year.
So somebody great's going to perform on a given date.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. We're joking about how this year is going to be nuts, but next year is going to be even crazier, I think, in terms of touring artists and festivals. You know, there's all kinds of things happening. A lot of people were trying to scramble to get it in the end of this year, but I think next year, since everything is going to be kind of wide open, fingers crossed, it'll be much busier.
Well, the Express Pavilion is outdoors, is it not?
We have an indoor and outdoor portion.
Right. So outdoors might be a little easier, even if there are health protocols concerned, because it's better outdoors. It's thought to have been better outdoors.
Sure. Yeah. You know, we're GA venues, so it's very hard in those venues to socially distance. We're not really built that way.
Yeah.
You know, we're built to be kind of packed. And so that's why we didn't try doing different things over the last year or so. We don't want to really risk anyone's health and try to do it in a poor manner. Like a band doesn't totally want to play to 50 people in a lawn that can fit 5,000. It doesn't look great, you know? So we want to give everybody the best experience, obviously, that we possibly can.
Like the football players in the Shoe playing to 1,000 people. It was, you know.
Right.
And
it's just not that
they were
fun.
Piping in the noise and the,
absolutely.
You know,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's just a weird experience that way. So the bulk of our shows for this year are outdoor. Newport will be opening. We've already had a show at the Basement. It's definitely getting there. It's not quite normal yet, but
stick around. You know,
yeah,
just show up.
That's it takes time. It takes time.
You'll see something wonderful. Lisa Minkin again is the marketing manager for Broadway in Columbus. We talked about Hadestown. There are two shows that I love that you're bringing back. One is the Carole King musical, and the other one is Come From Away, which I also love. So talk a bit more about the seasons coming up. Tell me about how long do the shows play when they come to Columbus? Mm-hmm. I know generally they go clean. They used to go clean. I mean, they didn't play to a lot of empty seats. Any show did.
That is true. So most shows, unless it's a mega like your Wicked's or your Hamilton's, are in town for a week. And like you said, our shows are going clean. We're actually having amazing subscription sales. People are anxious to get back. So if you are on the fence about buying a subscription,
get off.
Yes. And my tip just for your listeners is weeknights or Sunday evenings have the best availabilities. The weekends are starting to look a little more sold out or not available or very limited availability. But like you mentioned, Come From Away, I'm so excited to have that show come to Columbus. And it actually has some really strong Columbus ties to the show.
It does, yes.
With our friends over at the Columbus Zoo Aquarium, they talk about a bonobo named Unga that was on one of the planes that landed in Gander on 9/11. And the wonderful people in Gander took care of not only the zookeeper, but the bonobo. The woman who was in charge of that section at the zoo at the time was so impressed with the level of care that she promised to name Unga's first offspring after the town. So if you ever go to the zoo, you'll notice that Gander is part of the bonobos there. So we are super excited about that connection.
The premise of that show was that on 9/11, when no one could fly, people who were flying had to go somewhere.
Right.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think several planes were able to land in Newfoundland, at Gander, Newfoundland, and they were stranded there. And the people on the plane, nobody could get out. And again, apparently the townspeople or the residents of Gander all came to the airport to care for or look after all of these many, many, many stranded passengers. Am I right?
Yes, totally. And I would say it's not necessarily a 9/11 story.
It's
more of a 9/12 story in the care and compassion that that town showed those thousands and thousands of people that descended on this small town. I think it was about 29 planes that landed in Gander. Some of those people sat in those planes for 24 hours before they knew what to do. And it was a time before cell phones. It just really shows the care that that town rallied together to show those international folks.
It's a lovely show come from away based on what really happened on 9/12.
Yes. All the characters are based on real people.
And I know on Broadway it was a great, great hit for a long time.
Yes, and it still is.
I'm sure that's coming back too.
It is, yes.
Well, do you know when the Broadway theaters in New York are? A couple of Bruce Springsteen came back.
Yes.
He would, but you know, he came back, yeah.
So Broadway theaters they have staggered openings. Each one decides their own. But early September is when you're going to see shows on Broadway start opening, and you'll see them opening from then until, I want to say, December or January.
As someone who lived in New York for years, New York is back gets me teary. That's a
yeah,
wonderful.
I can't imagine New York, but our theaters, and I'm sure the other panelists feel this way, or when you guys did open, hearing the audiences in your theaters,
hearing the crowds.
Crowds, hearing the orchestra warm up, I'm going to be a mess that first night.
That's okay. That's fine. And as you said, Marissa, a lot of the promo West venues are built for big crowds. I mean, you expect mobs, and not to have them is kind of sad, but to have them back, to hear that buzz again must be music to your ears as a marketing director, certainly.
Yeah, I think the biggest part for me, for my job, that keeps me still doing it has always been at the end of, you know, when the headliner goes on and you see the crowd and everybody is having a good time and singing along. And that's like, there's a rush that you get. And it's like, I don't know that anything else can ever kind of beat it when you're like, oh, I had a little tiny hand in this. All of these people having like the best time. Right. And it's just, not having had that was strange, and you don't realize honestly how much you miss it until you're actually in a new show and you're like, oh my gosh, this is why this is great.
Chocolate's great, but that's better.
Absolutely.
No calories. That's right. In fact, you worked them off. Nanette Macy Junes, the Columbus Museum of Art. We were talking about Amita Robinson. We were talking about the fact that her legacy has the home in Columbus, although her reach is international. There's more to it than that.
We're having community days. We're having celebration days. The shows run long. The show runs till the first Sunday in October. But on August 13th through 15th, we're having a lot of wonderful activities. You know, Urban Strings is going to perform a new piece of work.
I'm very
excited about that. And but there'll be maker activities. You can see the show. Everything will be free. So that we can celebrate Amina with the whole community.
You also have a new exhibition going up of modern art, and you took my notes.
I'm sorry. Let me take your note. Here it is.
Talk to me. All right, you're giving it back to me.
I'm giving it back to you.
All right. Present generation creating the Scantlin Collection at the Columbus Museum of Art. Discuss.
Okay, this is an extraordinary. The Scantlin family has known the museum now for, well, actually, the whole time that I've been director, and Pete Scantlin is on our board. He has been on the board for some time, and the family came up with the idea of it. It was a two-part gift. One is they endowed the executive director of learning and engagement at the museum, and endowment is an incredibly important thing for the arts, because these are the positions that, you know, we can secure those positions and get really talented people in them. So a learning and education position. And then the second thing is that they donated 27 works of art by 27 contemporary artists. And the reason I stole that from you is these are people born long after I was born, and I'm just learning about all of them. Our contemporary curator, Tyler Cann, knows them all very well. But the exciting thing about this is that Pete, I asked him, what's your dream? And he said, my dream is for Columbus and the Columbus Museum of Art to have one of the most important collections of this generation that we can put together. And this is the beginning of a number of gifts that he wants to make with the family to make this sure this happens. So we're really excited. This is sort of a replication of, you know, people know us for early 20th century modernism because of a man named Ferdinand Howald. this is Mr. Howell's dream, and Pete and his family have a dream for this generation.
And it's a dream for us, and that's the Scantlin Collection of the Columbus Museum of Art. And speaking of dreams, let's talk about the Pizzuti Collection.
It's reopening! Yay!
What is the relationship between the Pizzuti Collection and Ron Pizzuti, hello, and the Columbus Museum of Art?
Well, you know, we merged. So it's now the Pizzuti Collection of the Columbus Museum of Art. It was, so the wonderful building that everybody knows is the Pizzuti Collection is now part of the museum in the Short North. It did accompany some art at the time, but the centerpiece was getting the facility, and we kept it closed a little longer than we did, a lot longer than we did the main museum, because like many arts organizations, we had a lot of layoffs. We shrunk by about a third. But this August 28th, now if you want to join the museum, you can get in August 27th, but August 28th will be the debut. We'll be starting to be open on Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And we are opening with something really exciting. Two exhibitions. One is Nina Cacciadorian, a brilliant young woman artist. And the show is called To Feel Something That Was Not of Our World. And she created this work during COVID, during the pandemic. And it is, it retells the story of the family, the Robertson family, who in 1972 were living on their schooner, the Lucette, and they were hit by an orca whale, and their boat was destroyed, and they survive. You know, they're on life rafts and dinghies to survive, and she retells the story. So when you go into the exhibition, all the walls are painted deep blue, so you're like in the experience with the family. There's a giant orca whale on the wall, and then all this, there's interviews, tapes. You feel like you're experiencing this story of survival, and the whole family survived. I mean, it's an amazing. So we're doing that. We're doing something with a local artist, Bruce Robinson, who taught at CCAD for many years. We're really excited to focus on Bruce. And Nocturne Navigator, who most people know as the Blue Lady, Allison Czar's Nocturne Navigator, is going to go visit at the Pizzuti for a year. So you'll see it. And she's the wonderful Blue Lady with the lights coming through. It's a piece about the Underground Railroad. We'll be over at the Pizzuti for a year. So we're excited.
So you have two buildings now.
We do.
You're running two buildings.
We are.
So you have to run, you have a little scooter, you run back and forth, or a golf cart, or you know, that's because, yeah.
It's pretty, yeah. We're excited, and we're also excited to be part of the comeback of the Short North, and his, getting people in the Short North.
His building is magnificent. That's a beautiful, beautiful building.
But it's going to be exciting to see activity over there again.
Yeah, it will indeed. The Columbus Museum of Art down on Broad Street, and now in the Short North, and what was the Pizzuti Collection, and is now the Columbus Museum of Art Pizzuti Collection. Yeah, all right, very good. And we're at the museum. We're going to go see shows at Promo West, and we're going back to Broadway with Lisa Minkin. What else do you have for us? You're starting in November with Hadestown. What else is going on?
So we have a couple great revivals that are coming through. Fiddler on the Roof, directed by Bartlett Sher, who's personally one of my favorite
He's
directors.
He's a genius.
He is a true genius. He does a really nice job of blending what you want to expect, what you expect to see in a revival, and adding a modern twist to it. And he certainly does that with Fiddler. You have Cats, which is very nostalgic for so many people. Lots of people's first Broadway show, or they have great memories around that show. We have a new musical, Pretty Woman. So if you liked the movie, you will love the musical as well. Wicked's returning to Columbus, another favorite. And then we're ending our season with a little show. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. It's called Hamilton.
That's still the hottest ticket wherever it goes, isn't it? It's been, seven or eight years since it first opened in New York or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's still, correct me if I'm wrong, it's still the hot. No matter where it goes, it's the hottest ticket ever.
Yeah, most certainly. And a lot of people got to experience it for the first time this past summer on Disney Plus, which is great to be able to see that original cast. But, you know, nothing beats seeing a show live and having that shared experience.
Well, I shared that with you because we've had to do this show on Zoom for 18 months. And now to have the three of you live in the studio, there is no, even just for me, There's no comparison to that. And just the energy hopefully going out over the air is different, better, and where we are all more comfortable. So by all means, you need to get out of the house and go play. Go to the museum. Go to the Promo West venues, four of them. We're going to talk about more because we've only covered two as far as and go to the Palace or the Ohio Theaters to see a Broadway show. I should say the Columbus Symphony is up and running. They were performing during the pandemic very carefully, very limited, but they were there. They were giving performances and they were free. They just wanted people to come in and hear some music. ProMusica has been giving concerts outdoors. Opera Columbus is back. So the community is waking up. They're coming back too, and the quality is as great as it's ever been, no matter where we're going. You mentioned a bar.
Well, we have lots of those.
Talk to me.
Next door to Express Live is A&R Music Bar, and that is a concert venue, but it's also open for all of our shows. So it can be your pre and post destination for all your beverage needs.
You want coffee and a dessert. There you are.
Or a beer or a cocktail. That's kind of more up our alley. But yeah, interesting fact. So A&R Music Bar is above the basement, which is our other venue, but that building is actually the last still standing building of the Ohio Penitentiary. Yeah, and it was a shipping and receiving building, but it might be haunted. We don't know. We think it might
haunted
be.
Haunted's always good.
I think so,
that's
too.
Haunt,
I think I love it. A haunted basement, who doesn't want that?
What shows coming up that Promo West is presenting are you most excited about?
Well, I'm actually really excited about a show in our new venue in Kentucky, which is Faith No More. It's been on my list of bands I've wanted to see for years and years and years, and they've come back, and they're making a tour back.
Yeah, I love that, too. Columbus.
Yeah, so, but Columbus, like I said, Modest Mouse is on Tuesday. We have Old Crow Medicine show coming. The Ani DeFranco show is going to be really, really great. We have two sold-out nights of camp. Those boys are local. So they sold out our outdoor venue two nights in a row, which is awesome for them. We also have one of the members of camp. He has another project called Sunbuck, and that's coming to Newport also in October. So we try to mix up some of the local Columbusites in with some of the big names. We have Squeeze coming, which will be interesting.
That'll be quite a crowd to experience. Yes,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So we try to have a little bit of everything for everybody. But yeah, I love Modest Mouse. It's one of my favorites. Yeah. It's always a good show. So I'm looking forward to that one for sure.
We are talking with Marissa McClellan, who is the marketing director of Promo West. Nanette Macy-Junes is the executive director and CEO of the Columbus Museum of Art. Lisa Minkin is the marketing manager for Broadway and Columbus at Kappa. And we will be right back. We are back. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend, Arts and Culture and Entertainment, talking with Nanette Macy-Junes, the CEO and Executive Director of the Columbus Museum of Art, Marissa McClellan, who is the Marketing Director of Promo West, and Lisa Minkin, Broadway and Columbus Marketing Manager. Promo West and little kids, not so much. Everybody else, yes. But how about children? I know, as I said before, Nanette, the museum has always been kid-friendly.
Yes.
They have their own space at
yep,
the museum.
We do.
What about getting kids going to Broadway?
Yeah, we love exposing a new generation to theater with some of our Broadway shows.
Would be a good one for a kid, for like a 10-year-old?
For like a 10-year-old, I think there's Cats, which is a classic. You know, I think it's important to teach this generation the classic musicals as well. But I think also Wicked would be a big favorite for a 10-year-old.
And this started during the break because I have a 10-year-old
yes,
granddaughter. I thought, why am I not doing this? But also she already knows Hamilton because of Disney, and to think that she could see it live would be extraordinary. But I mean, that kind of thing, I think starting young, I think that's really important.
Yeah, for sure.
Generation.
Building that appreciation and having that experience. It's all about the experience, too, because chances are you'd take your granddaughter to dinner before, and that's a memory you guys would make together.
Yes.
And, you know, I think I was thinking the audiences for Promo West Productions are the ones who really, I would think, insist you got to be there. You know, it's one thing. I mean, it's great to watch, you know, watch and sort of be at home and stuff. But you really, you've got to be physically present in the venues. I would think, because we talk about, I think that, you know, the symphony and the opera and whatever, it's important to be there. But really for your stuff, your people want to be there. Am I right?
Yeah, I think we all tried our hand at watching some of the virtual live performances of bands. And, you know, they're fine. But it's definitely not a replacement. For being in a crowd of other enthusiastic people. And, you know, when a band has an audience to feed off of, that's kind of where the energy comes from. When there isn't an audience, it's a completely different atmosphere. And even if they sound the best they could ever sound without an audience, it's just not the same.
Lisa, how many big Broadway productions? You're bringing many of them, but how many, you know, ballpark figure are actually touring now or planning to start touring again?
Oh, gosh. I want to say, and I could be totally wrong, across the country, I bet there's 20-plus shows or more that are getting ready to tour. You'll see a lot of them kicking off across the country this fall. And actually, on Tuesday, Wicked is relaunching in Dallas. So touring Broadway is slowly coming back.
Wicked's been running for years. The reason it's been running for years is because it sells out wherever it goes, in whatever city it's in. That's a Wizard of Oz sort of version, a different version. These shows are successful for a reason. They're really good. You know,
right.
there's a lot to them. You can sing along, you can hum, you can stamp your feet at them. Give us a little bit more review again what's coming to town, because I want people to really remember and let's help people. Your website is kappa.com, I would think, right?
Everything's there. Yes, or you can get everything at broadwayandcolumbus.com. That's a good way. That's a good site to go to for subscriptions. There's a subscribe button at the top, and it gives you all the information you need. Our subscriptions start around $240. So divide by six shows.
Six shows. That's pretty good.
That's a great deal.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
But we are so excited to bring Hadestown, like we talked about, to Columbus. We do our best to try and bring the hottest shows from Broadway to Columbus just as soon as possible. And taking out the pandemic, Hadestown was one of them, along with Pretty Woman. And again, a Columbus crowd favorite, Come From Away. There's also with a woman named Shirley Brooks Jones, whose character isn't in the show, but she started a scholarship fund. She got a fellow travelers to contribute, so to give college scholarships to children in Gander. And that fund is actually talked about in the show, the scholarship, and it's housed at the Columbus Foundation.
And I believe that Ann Fisher interviewed her.
Nice.
Yeah, she was on Ann Fisher probably a year ago, so it's wonderful to know that and have that. And tell me about the renovations a bit in your two theaters. The Palace had extensive renovations.
Yes, most definitely. It got a beautiful facelift a year or two ago. Todd Bemis led that charge. He's a wonderful man.
He is a wonderful
just
man.
Retired
Happily
from,
retired
yes,
now. After
congratulations to Todd. And taking the helm is Jason Gay, who led...
Another great guy.
Another great guy who led the renovations at the Ohio Theater in the Loge. So two theaters, when you walk back in, they're just a beautiful sight to behold.
You may have been in high school when this happened, but I think it was with the very first time Phantom of the Opera toured or that they had to renovate the Ohio Theater for that, the stage.
They
did. The very first time.
Yes. I believe reinforcements in the ceiling.
Right.
And there's been shows that have come through that you've had to make improvements to the theater for that rigging, which we are excited to do to get those shows to Columbus, which has a great appetite for touring Broadway.
Broadway and Columbus is part of Kappa. The website is broadwayandcolumbus.com. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
And Lisa Minkin is the marketing director. And if you want to know, you also, don't you have a video blog or something?
I do.
That's wonderful.
We are kind of in a hiatus now, but I host a web series called Broadway Dish. We give Broadway news, but we also, when shows are in town, we do carpool karaoke. We like to borrow good ideas from people. We'll do co-star quizzes. So, you know, I'm living my every dream, getting Broadway stars in my car singing show tunes.
Are any of them on YouTube, like archivally, we could find
yes,
them?
Yes. If you go to Kappa's YouTube page, there's a whole playlist, Broadway Dish. And before he got really big, I did a carpool karaoke with Andrew Levitt, who's Nina West.
Just
announced yesterday that he's the role of Edna Turnblatt in the national tour of Hairspray. So big things
coming
out of
Columbus. So he may never come back. He's on his way to bigger things. You know,
I bet he's on his way to Broadway.
But he'll never quite
no,
ever
Columbus
leave
is home.
He loves
Nina
Columbus
West.
Is home. He will love us forever.
Nina West will never leave home. She's an institution, just like other institutions here in Columbus. You know, Marissa, for Promo West, I wanted to ask you, you're the marketing director. When you have so many shows and so many venues, how does one person sell that and do that? I mean, I'm sure you have help, but what does your focus need to be as you go about your business?
I mean, obviously, the bigger the venue, the more tickets we have to sell,
right,
and then the more money we need to make or that we have at risk. So the outdoor shows are always kind of, they take precedent, just because that's our biggest venue. But I am very lucky that I have a wonderful team of women that back me up and help me out every day and keep me organized. If I didn't have my two ladies back at the office, I would be a disaster. But, you know, I just try to sell as many tickets as I can and have fun doing it. That's kind of my motto in life. And I am lucky also that I've been in Columbus my whole life, and everyone I work with from our different sponsors and partners are just awesome to me. We have some great partnerships that make things turnkey. So when we do have 150 shows in 4 months, some people are very understanding when I don't email right away. But yeah, I mean, it's honestly, you get used to the crazy fast pace, and
you got to love it or you couldn't do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, I work better under pressure sometimes. If I'm not stressed out, I don't know what to do with myself. So, and you know, we're not doing anything too crazy. It's shows. It's music.
Do you have audience members or customers who are venue specific? In other words, if it's a Newport, I'm going to go. Might not go to Express or vice versa, whatever. Do you
absolutely
have that?
Yeah. And we have bands that are that way too.
Really?
That have been coming for years and years, and
they want to go. They want to go here.
Absolutely.
Right.
And even if it's an underplay for them, sometimes they want to just do Newport because it's nostalgia for them.
Right. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, sure. You have a band like OAR that, you know, had members that went to Ohio State and they were here and they've played all of our venues at this point. So we try to think, like, would that show be way better at Newport, or would that be better outside? You know, if we're not thinking capacity, what makes a better show? And oftentimes it's Newport, sometimes it's outside, but then sometimes the schedule just dictates what we have available and it, you know, we have to put it somewhere else. But yeah, there's definitely people that love Newport and they want to see every show if it was possible at Newport.
What is the Bunbury Music Festival?
So that is our music festival that we have in Cincinnati. It is a 3-day festival. We purchased it in 2014. We put the first festival on in 2015. And when we purchased it, it was just kind of like an alternative music festival. And we really wanted to make it more open to everyone. Cincinnati is very diverse. And so we really wanted to open it up to the whole community. So we put Snoop Dogg on that lineup the first year. And we had The Killers and we had Ava Brothers.
I know who they are. That's great.
Yeah. It was incredible. So we unfortunately were not able to have the festival last year or this year due to the pandemic. We are hoping to bring it back. But yeah, it's a three-day music festival on the banks of the Ohio River in Cincinnati.
Okay, bookmark that. We'll have you come back and when it's back up, we'll have you come back
Absolutely.
And talk about that. All right. Now, Nanette, we touched upon the museum being kid-friendly. Let's expand a little more. Children at the Columbus Museum.
Oh, well, everybody's really, you know, children and families are an incredibly important audience to us. And in fact, this summer, one of the things that we did, supported by Battelle, is that we did something called Wonder Pass. You know, one of the things we're all really aware of is that how much really learning ground, education that kids lost in the pandemic. I mean, it was a tough year for our families. And so WonderPass, we're doing with Columbus City Schools, and it enables K through 12 kids with their caregivers or parents to come to the museum for free. And there's lots of follow-up material that we're able to get them to stimulate their thinking, get them thinking creatively, get them thinking critically. And so we've had well over 1,000 families come in for that already. We're real excited about it.
Because I'm thinking, because you were open 4 months into the pandemic, on as far to the extent you could be with health protocols. I mean, if parents were stuck at home with kids trying to learn online, go to school online, I would think being able to bring them to the museum would be a wonderful compliment, or not even, maybe even better than that experience.
Well, at the height of the pandemic, I mean, the museum was one of those places you could go to because
right.
It was very safe, you know, plenty of social distancing with your mask, and you could enjoy works of art, you could talk together. And we did do a lot of remote programming. We really, you know, pivoted to remote programming, particularly with all of our programs, including our wellness programs. But people just being able to come to the museum was really incredibly sustaining. I think the pandemic taught us the arts are so important. They've never been more important to us than now.
I would think that for the three of you who are all presenters and marketers, whatever you want to call yourselves, to have venues closed was devastating. You know, to have people come in was just like, oy, you know, that must have been hard.
And it's just something that you would never have thought of. Like, it never really crossed my mind that would be a thing that would ever happen. And then having to figure out how to do stuff so quickly and move so fast, it was a wild ride, that's for sure. But yeah, being able to come back, like I've said before, you don't appreciate it as much, especially when you're in the thick of it. You're like, oh my God, I have to go to work. But now I'm like, oh yeah, I get to go to work.
Yeah. That's how I felt too, just when we had to come back, even for radio. Yeah, that was, my first day back just after 6 weeks home, I mean, I thought I'd gone to heaven, just tapping the microphone in front of me and playing Beethoven or whatever. But anyway, Lisa Mink in Broadway in Columbus, you're going to get us, you're getting us all back to Broadway. You're bringing it here to Columbus. We have Come From Far Away. We have Fiddler on the Roof. We have Hamilton. All right, let's discuss Hamilton.
Yes.
It's coming October of it closes your season in 2022.
Correct.
Right.
October of 2022. We're so excited to have it back in Columbus again.
Is it the second or third time?
It's the second time. So the second engagement here. The first was, you know, essentially a sold out performance.
Oh, God. It was sold out weeks before it opened. It sold out. Yeah.
Yes. So we're fingers crossed for the same thing again. So that's why you should get a subscription now if you want to see Hamilton.
I wanted to see it so much. The only place I could get before you brought it to town, we went to Chicago to see it,
mm-hmm.
and had a weekend, and it was just brilliant. I'll never forget it. I mean, it's always, because I've seen a few touring productions of Hamilton. The casting is always, for that at least, very strong.
Yeah,
somebody
top
is insisting
notch.
That this really be the best people they can find for each role. So I wanted to ask you that about casting. Sometimes Broadway and Columbus, there's always exceptions. You don't have a name above the title. You know, you don't have a big name above the title. But the casting is very, very strong. Is that something that presenters on the road really have to tell the producers, look, you've got to make sure this is not a road, you know, this is not a bus and truck thing on the cheap.
You know, I don't think it's necessarily something that we actually have to fight for as presenters, because producers want to share their product with America and they want to share the very best possible. So I don't think you ever have to hesitate debating, like, do I go to see the show in New York or see it here in Columbus? You're going to see every bit, as much of the top Broadway quality that you would see in New York when you see a touring show.
And you might discover a new star.
Most certainly.
That's
and
happened.
Lots of times, especially you see it with Wicked and Hamilton, those stars are interchangeable. You see a lot of them going from the tour to Broadway and vice versa. And with a lot of the Disney shows as well, our genie that we had here during our run actually then went on to Broadway and was the genie for a while. So you can see you saw him here first.
You're seeing it there, but you just don't have to leave home.
Exactly.
I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend Arts and Culture. We've been talking talking with Lisa Minkin, who was the marketing manager of Broadway in Columbus for Kappa. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for bringing Broadway back to Columbus and keeping us able to go to see the shows that we don't have to travel far away to see. Thank you for that.
My pleasure.
Nanette Macy-Jones, the CEO and Executive Director of the Columbus Museum of Art, heroically opened early in the pandemic, taking all kinds of safety and health protocols. Now back with lots going on. Tell me the community day again.
The community day is, look, I have to look down, August 13th and 15th, and the Charles Kleibacher Film Festival is back. If you are a fashion maven, we are showing Paris Burning August 19th and 21st.
Fashion maven, she looked right at me. Anyway, and thank you very much, Marissa McClellan, the program, the marketing director of Promo West. You are bringing bands and you're bringing energy and fun to Columbus in four different venues in Columbus alone. We won't even discuss, you know, other places because do you run around the state in your car?
I do.
Do you? Really?
Yeah, no, yes, absolutely.
It's Wednesday. I must be in Cincinnati.
Yep,
we'll talk
absolutely.
Later. Thank you all very much. Thank you to the All Side staff, producer Aaron Esmond, producer Matthew Rand, assistant producer Bobby Gaberick. Thank you very much, Scott Good, who's been running the board and making sure we are on the radio correctly. Thank you all for listening. I'm Christopher Purdy for All Sides Weekend. Get out, go to the theater, go to the museum, and go to the Newport.